Hello, everyone. Wanted to pop in at the beginning of the episode real quick to let you know that starting in the new year, this show will have ads. We have moved to a new hosting site, and the ads will finally allow me to start paying Ron and Chuck for all that they do for the shows. So, like, $1 an episode. Also would like to let you know that if you are listening to the shows through the Comic Book Rundown feed, then starting in the new year, you may have to resubscribe to the show on a new feed, depending on the podcast app you are listening to it on. I have been trying to get the podcast apps to work with me, but they have me jumping through a bunch of different hoops. Spotify is the only one that was of any real help. So if the new year starts and the feed hasn't updated for you, go give us another search in your app and subscribe to the feed that is still putting out episodes. Thanks for listening. Now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe, and this episode, we're going to be talking about episodes 27 and 28 of Kamen Rider Ichigo. And with no news, I actually looked up some news to see if we had anything, and really the only things at the moment are what's going on with Super Sentai and how they're not going to be around for much longer. And what's coming up next, but because it's not Super Sentai podcast, you want to go hear some Super Sentai stuff, go over to Ranger Alliance over at the Geek Ultimate Alliance. You might be able to hear some stuff over there, but, no, so there's nothing to really talk about for Kamen Rider right now. So I guess we just get into the show. Into what we're going to be talking about with the Kamen Riders. So up first, episode 27. It is called Mukaderas. Yeah, I think that's how I say it. Mukaderas Monster Classroom. So to start out, you know, it's for a secret organization that is trying to take over the world. I will admit that they are doing a really good job not letting people know about them. You know, the doctors and scientists from the last couple of episodes had zero idea who Shocker was when Taki brought them up, you know, when the whole fuel thing was being stolen, you know, that one episode. And then when the ladies were in the hospital and they were talking about them in front of the doctors with the mushroom spores and all that, doctors had no idea. And yet, this episode starts out with kids pretending to be Shocker agents running away from another kid who is pretending to be Kamen Rider. He's got a paper Kamen Rider mask on, and his bike is made up to be to look like Cyclone, which is kind of fun, actually. So how is it that these random kids are aware of Shocker, but the adults are still unaware? Maybe they're not anymore. You know, by this time we are 27 episodes in, and we have had plenty of people that have had, you know, that have been saved by both Takeshi and Hayato from Shocker. You know, we've even had one specifically get turned back from a Shocker cyborg, although I still think that was a little crap. But, you know, it's whatever. So maybe the word is out that Shocker is a thing. I mean, who knows? Either way, the kids are playing Kamen Rider that kicks Shocker's butt. And they're having a good time. They're having fun. It's just, you know, when you were a kid and you would play, I was about to say Cops and Robbers, but you would play my thing was, as a kid, playing Power Rangers, ironically enough. But it's something like that. You're playing heroes and villains. You're playing whatever thing, and you're going to have the hero always kicking the villain's butt. But then it gets to a point where one of the kids wants to switch and be the Kamen Rider. of course, the kid that is Kamen Rider at the moment, doesn't want to trade off. He says something along the lines of, it's that they said he could be Kamen Rider the entire day. So because of that, he hops on his bike and rides away, which prompts the other three kids to run after him. A man walks in the path of the bike, forcing the kid to stop. He sees that these kids are Kamen Rider fans and asks them if they would like to go meet Kamen Rider. They all say that they would love to. So he says, but that is perfect, because he is a good friend with Kamen Rider, and he will gladly take him to go meet with Kamen Rider. The kids hop in this guy's van, and I guess Stranger Danger wasn't a thing in 1971. And all you had to do for now was to say that you're friends with a superhero, and the kids would listen. You know, he didn't even offer them any candy, which is kind of sad. Although he also didn't have a white van with no windows. This thing was like a green van with windows. So I guess candy wouldn't have actually worked either. Not long after that, the parents of the kids come looking for their kids and only find the bike abandoned. So, of course, panic mode sets in. The kids ask how long it will be until they can get to meet Kamen Rider. The guy tells them that Kamen Rider is with them now. Just look in the back seat. When the kids turn around, Mukaderas, a giant centipede man, pops up and uses his hypnosis powers to take control of the kids. He gets a transmission from Colonel Zol about his next target, a kid named Nami, who is as smart as these kids are. And I had to laugh at that because if these kids are smart, they wouldn't have gotten into this van. But here we are. Either way, we go over to Nami's house, and she is studying fervently, saying out loud, for no reason at all, that she needs to work just as hard at her schoolwork as Goro. Apparently, Goro is a really smart student. His actions in the last few episodes would tell me otherwise. Does anyone else remember his encouraging a bunch of other kids to follow a guy with mushrooms sprouting from his head and shoulders? I can't take this show seriously sometimes, I swear. So Mukaderas shows up outside of Nami's window, opens it up, and then grabs her. Because of this, when we see Goro at the racing club, he's in a foul mood. Taki picks on him. Goro snaps at him for it. He goes to leave and runs into Hayato as he is entering through the doorway, and then steps on his foot because he is mad. Tachibana tells these two about Goro's friend Nami, who didn't show up to school, and Yuri tells them that they have a bit of a rivalry going on, always competing for the best grades. Hayato shows everyone the newspaper that talks about other missing kids and thinks that this friend of Goro's may be connected to those other kids. Taki mentions that Colonel Zol used children in his campaigns in the past, so it is possible that Shocker is behind the disappearance of these kids. Over at the Shocker base, Colonel Zol is giving a speech to the newest members of the Junior Shocker Leaders. They will be getting special training so that they can teach other kids their age when the time comes. Their first class starts today with proper bomb handling. So I guess props to Shocker for teaching them at a young age weapon safety. I mean, gotta learn sometime. Might as well teach them when they're 10. I mean, actually, yes, teach them when they're young. That's actually smart. Teach, if you are listening to this and you haven't taught your kids proper weapon safety, do that. Teach your children proper weapon safety. He dismisses the kids, but Nami stays back, telling the colonel that she has another candidate for the Junior Shocker Leaders, Goro. So the colonel sends Van Guy and Nami out to pick Goro up, who just so happens to be walking around looking for Nami. The van drives by, and Nami sticks her head out and waves to Goro, prompting him to run after it. And when he is unable to catch up, he hops in a taxi and has to follow behind. They follow the van out to the middle of nowhere, and when they finally stop, Goro gets out and looks in the van to see nobody inside. He's confused by this, but as Mukaderas comes from the back of the van to grab him, The taxi driver gets out, revealing himself to be Taki, and starts to fight the centipede man. Again, Goro is supposed to be smart, but he didn't recognize Taki as the taxi driver. I don't get it. But whatever. Once he is able to get some room, Mukadaris summons some combat men to fight Taki and to chase after Goro. Of course, the ones that go after Goro aren't that bright. He ducked behind a pillar, one that is, I'm pretty sure, they saw him hide behind, but instead ran right past. They ran right past him that he ducked behind and kept going. Mukadaris isn't as gullible, though. He was able to grab hold of Goro and knock him out with his high-pitched sound waves, right as Hayato shows up. Mukadaris tells Hayato that he fell right into their trap, which made no sense. Apparently, they knew that if they went after Goro, then it would draw out Kamen Rider and his allies. So they used Goro as bait to get them in the open so they could destroy them. My guy, you don't need to go to such lengths to draw out Kamen Rider. You literally just have to walk down the street. Literally anywhere downtown. He'll come to you. He always does. This plan that Zol has is sounding so convoluted. Really, actually, any plan that Zol has come up with so far has been convoluted, but it's whatever. But anyway, they start to go at each other, and Mukadaris uses his brain-melting radio waves on Hayato, causing him to scream in pain. He then walks over and picks up Goro, and then walks off. Hayato has to transform into Kamen Rider just so the radio waves won't kill him. Taki is still fighting the combat men when he sees Mukadaris putting Goro in the van. He breaks away to try and stop him, but Mukadaris punches him in the gut and then throws him to the ground, gets in the van, and then leaves. The combat men grab Taki and proceed to pummel him until Rider shows up, literally driving over one of them with Cyclone. Taki punches out the other two holding him and then hops on the back of the motorcycle and off they go. As they are nearing the van, they hear a screech coming from behind them, and when Taki looks back, he sees Gebba Condor in the air behind them. Rider is forced to stop to take on this new threat, and there is a moment when the stuntmen are rolling around or rolling down the hill that looked like it was probably not the safest of stunts, but somehow they made it work. As Rider is fighting Gebba Condor, another dead villain shows up from the show's past. I had trouble saying this guy's name before. Sarasnian. There we go. Got it. It was enough of a distraction that Mukadaris was able to get away with Goro. Okay, so now it's time for me to complain a little bit. When both Gebba Condor and Sarasnian showed up, Kamen Rider knew who they were, and that wouldn't have been an issue if Hayato had been the one to have faced them before. Sarasnian was like the 4th or 5th episode villain, and Gebba Condor was episode 11 when Taki first showed up, because he tried to take his wife, Gebba Condor did. Maybe he actually succeeded because Taki never talks about her. Just saying. So the fact that Hayato knows these guys makes zero sense. It's before his time. I don't know what they're doing. Anyway. At the Shocker base, the Great Leader asks Colonel Zol for a status update on the kids' indoctrination. They have been mastering all of their studies, and he already has made plans for the kids to go out and create chaos. But first, they are going to go give Kamen Rider a visit. Speaking of, Hayato and Taki are in Hayato's place talking about Goro. Taki opens up, saying that he is alone in life, and Goro is like a little brother to him. I guess they just full-on killed his wife then, but at least they finally said something about it. Hayato says the same thing about Goro. They suddenly hear footsteps outside the door, and then the door itself opens up to reveal all the kids holding guns, and then they come in and start blasting. Hayato and Taki manage to escape by barreling through them and shutting the door behind them. Taki held the door shut as Hayato went out to track down Mukadaris. With his hearing stronger than a normal person, Hayato was able to narrow down where Mukadaris was, transmitting his radio waves from. he transforms and makes his way over to the mountain that Mukadaris was on, and the two start to fight. At one point, Mukadaris has Ryder in a full Nelson with a leg wrapped around Ryder's leg, and then Gebba Condor came flying in and kicked Ryder in the face, sending him to the ground. These two are now rolling around, and Ryder is actually kicking Gebba Condor's ass, until Sarathnian shows up and grabs hold of Ryder's arm with his plant whip. Now stuck in the middle of these two, Ryder ends up dodging a few attempts at him from behind, and is able to get out from the plant whip, allowing him to deliver a Ryder kick on Gebba Condor to finish him off, and a Ryder throw on Sarathnian that threw him directly into the ground, finishing him off too. Now all that is left is Mukadaris. I was saying it right before, but whatever. And that actually proved to be a lot easier than now that his focus was on one thing instead of three. Ryder tossed him around for a bit and then gave him a Ryder kick to finish him off. And as Mukadaris rolled away from Ryder, a fire broke out? I have no idea. It just, like, he's rolling away and all of a sudden the fire just starts happening and he's in the background, but the fire's, I mean, they're trying to show, obviously, the fire's in the foreground, him in the background, but yeah, fire just happens. Whatever. Ryder gets back to his apartment to make sure the kids are okay and no longer under hypnosis. And the minute they see him, they get all excited. So it looks like taking out Mukadaris saved all the kids. So with that, our Ragdoll roundup, Gebba Condor, we have him flying in, and it's literally just a toy on the wire. We get that twice, which is fun. Action figure on the wire, I guess you could say. So then we also have, for our kill count, we've got, oh, was that five? One, two, three. No, four, sorry. Four for Kamen Rider. I think it was four. Yep, sorry. My hashtags are blending together there. So yeah, four for Kamen Rider there. All right. So on to our next one. Underground Monster Mogoron. Mogoron. There we go. I will say when I'm writing up my notes and I'm hearing the episode, I'm like, all right, I got the names locked in. I hear it. I understand it. I'm saying it as I'm writing it. And then when I come to say it on the episode, it just like leaves me and I forget exactly how to say it. So it takes me a second to get it back. So I apologize for that. All right. So episode 28, I know moles have tiny eyes and have a hard time seeing things normally. So it's an odd choice when Colonel Zol decides to attach giant retractable eyes to the latest Shocker cyborg, a mole monster man named Mogoron. Got it. His mission is to capture people and then transform them into more mole people so they can dig their way up from underneath the oil refinery at the harbor. So Shocker can dump the oil into the sea and then set it on fire. See what I was talking about with convoluted plans? The plan of kidnapping people seems to be working for a good while before Kamen Rider and his team get wind of it. So kudos to Shocker for that. Of course, it could be because the team is distracted getting prepared for this year's motocross championship race that is coming up. Goro's friend Shinji is trying to convince Tachibana to hire his older brother, Yutaka, as mechanic. Tachibana was already set on hiring him, but he had one condition for Yutaka. He is to race in Hayato's place next year at the championship. While Yutaka is a competent racer in his own right, he stopped racing after taking a few spills some months back. Tachibana knows this and is trying to encourage Yutaka to get back on his horse, or bike in that case. Yutaka thinks about it for a bit, but ultimately agrees. Fast forward, and we are now a few days away from the championship, and a few different things happen. First, the great leader tasks Mugrong, Mulguy, tasks Mulguy with finding new people to dig the tunnels because the current ones are working themselves to death. Second, Taki stumbles upon Mugurong, kidnapping someone, and had seen that they are up against a mole monster. That's why they haven't been able to track the kidnappings after they finally found out about them. Third, for a job well done, Colonel Zol promised to turn Mugurong back into a human with the serum that he showed him. But he has a few more jobs to do first. One of them is to go kidnap Yutaka. And lastly, now that they know they are facing a mole man, Hayato has decided to not race in the championship, and he goes to apologize to Yutaka for all the hard work he has been putting in on the motorcycle. After Yutaka and Shinji leave, they get attacked by Mugurong. Yutaka is able to save his younger brother, and Shinji runs back to the racing club to get Hayato. So either this kid has super speed, or Mugurong is slow when he kidnaps people, because Shinji gets back to Hayato and tells him about the attack and that it happened next to the river. Hayato hops onto his motorcycle to go out there, transforming in the process, and got there just as Mugurong had Yutaka halfway down the hole. It feels kind of lazy, honestly. Make the attack closer so that the kid getting to the shop and Hayato getting there before the monster is gone makes sense. Anyway, Ryder stops Mugurong, draws him out of the hole, and allows Yutaka to the ability to escape right into the waiting hands of some combat men. More pop up and start to attack Ryder, giving him access to a sword at least, but the sword does him zero good against Mugurang's hard skin. Ryder turns at the sound of Yutaka crying out, and when he turns back, Mugurong is gone, only for the mole man to grab him from underneath and drag him underground. At the shocker base, Zol uses the hypnotic machine to hypnotize Yutaka. His mission will be to kill Taki at the motocross championship. As for Hayato, he is tied up and chained up, sitting in a cell. Zol comes to him and lays out the entire operation, because he is overconfident in his combat men's ability to hold Hayato captive. It's not a smart move. And when Zol comes back later to taunt him some more, he makes an even bigger mistake. More on that when we get to it. But for now, we head back to the racing club, because Hayato, and I'm using air quotes there, has left a letter for Taki saying that he has rescued Yutaka, but needs to finish up a few things, and would like for him to take his place in the championship race. I'm not sure that's how it works. I don't think you can just substitute people whenever you want. Ah well. With Taki now joining the race, Yutaka heads to the garage to tune up the bike. And by tune up, he means attach a remote-controlled bomb to the gas tank. Back at the shocker base, the workers have reached the oil tanks, so Colonel Zol is going to set off the bombs that will blow up the tanks and the workers with it. He has the scientist transfer the controls to his room so he can do the deed there. And then he goes and taunts Hayato some more, whose cell is in the same room as the map at the controls. Literally, he walks like 3 feet to the cell. And when he is done taunting, he does the oldest trope in the book and has a wall come down over the cell so Hayato is left alone. It's one of those things where it just reminds me of, what was it, Austin Powers, when they let, they put Austin Powers in the one room with the sharks with laser eyes, and they put the wall down, and they're like, oh, yep, he's dead now. Don't have to worry about him. And Scotty's just like, no, we just take a gun, just shoot him. It just reminds me of that. Again, the oldest trope in the book. But since he is now alone, it's allowing him to pull out a hidden file so he can file through the chains. And once he is out of those, he easily breaks the ropes and then transforms into Kamen Rider. He broke through the wall and into the room with a map, took out the combat men stationed there, reverts the controls away from Colonel Zol, and finds the serum that would turn the people back into humans. I guess it's Ryder's turn to have super speed because he's able to get into the tunnels and get that serum to everyone down there before Colonel Zol realized what was going on. When he did, he quickly radioed Mugarang that Ryder foiled the plans for their oil refinery and he is likely on his way to the motocross track, so he needs to be on the lookout. We get to the motocross track, or motocross championship, and Taki is in the lead, about ready to win. They actually do show them going a few laps, and we do see Mugarang's eyes sticking out of the ground at one point, but I'm skipping past all that to get to this part, the part where Yutaka blows up Taki's bike. I kind of expected Ryder to jump in the middle of the race and ride alongside Taki to get the bomb off the bike, but instead, he comes jumping in and kicks Taki off the bike just before it explodes. And because he didn't die in the explosion, Yutaka comes running up with a knife to stab Taki. But Ryder stops him and smacks him upside the head, which I guess is enough to stop the hypnosis, according to Ryder. Angry, now that all their plans have gone to crap, Mugarang pops up and squares up to Ryder once more. Ryder knows that he's at a disadvantage on the ground, so he is going to lure Mugarang somewhere higher up. He jumps to the top of a walkway that may or may not be over the racetrack. Who's to say? Once up there, combat men are sent in, and Ryder easily dispatches them, and then jumps to a factory that was attached to the walkway? At least with Zets, them going from one location to the next makes sense, because they are in a dream world. Here, they could at least try. Either way, Mugarang chases after Ryder up the walkway, and they end up at the top of a tower of sorts, open tower at that, that apparently doubles as a concrete mixer. And since Ryder is unable to kill this cyborg the ways that he usually does, instead he ends up kicking him into this giant non-existent thing. And that's how, I mean, the episode ends with Yataka apologizing to Taki about trying to kill him. And then Tachibana saying, yeah, that's all fine. You're going to race next year and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, it's whatever. Like, we're at the end of it. So, but yeah, that's the end of the episode. Our kill count. Kamen Rider, he went ham in this episode. He got 14 in this episode, which brings our grand total for him up to 86 right now, which is pretty darn impressive. I mean, obviously he's surpassed Takeshi. Sorry. But obviously he's already had more episodes. Well, actually, they're... he's had like two more episodes than Takeshi right now. One or two more episodes than Takeshi. And then for our Ragdoll Roundup, we've got Mugarang falling into the concrete mixer thing. It was literally just a action figure falling in there. So that's really all we got. Without further ado, these episodes weren't great. I'll say, like I said, the first episode was very convoluted with their planning stage. We're going to make these kids do this stuff. Yeah, our kids are going to do it. But then the second episode the first episode, bringing back two cyborgs that this Kamen Rider has nothing to do with. Like, if you had brought back, you know, even like Krabubbler or Sabotagrong, like, I don't know, one of them, like any of them, Dokugonder, somebody that Hayato had actually faced off against, that would make sense. But because you brought back somebody from before his time, you are like, I get it, Kamen Rider faced off against them, but Hayato didn't. That's what bugs me. So, and that, and maybe it's just me being nitpicky. I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I am, but I'm not. You know, like, just continuity needs to be here. Obviously, Taki knows about Gebba Condor. Again, tried to capture his wife that he apparently doesn't remember, or the show doesn't remember. But the other, that just bugs me. And then the other one in the next episode, the thing I had a really hard time doing notes for this one, because for like the first half of the episode, each scene was like 45 seconds to a minute, and it was jumping to each scene so quickly that I literally just had to like jumble the scenes together. I had to like, because it goes from Colonel Zol with Muguranga, the mole guy, at their operating table. And then it's him actually, like, they actually do show him kidnapping people a few different times. And then there's multiple times where we have Hayato and Taki talking about people getting kidnapped. You know, I skipped over that because it'll go from a scene of them talking about that, and then it goes to a scene of a combat man looking in on Yataka and Tachibana working on the bike. And then them just chatting for a second. Like, it makes no sense. This episode was bonkers in its the way that they edited it. And it was kind of annoying. Another annoying one. Like, I said it last time, I feel like they're in a slump right now in the way that they're recording and editing stuff. And I know, the thing is, I know that we are about, like, episode 40, Takeshi comes back. I know that for a fact. And I know that's probably going to be a little more exciting stuff. But it's getting to that point, you know? So what's going to happen till we get there? I don't know. Obviously, we've got 12 more episodes before we get there. Hopefully those episodes are good. Maybe we'll have one or two more good ones in there. Who knows? But these two episodes were annoying at best, which is sad. I'm still enjoying the show. It's just that these two episodes were kind of sucked. So, but anyway, thank you all for listening. As you know, if you're listening to the show on its feed, every Monday and Thursday are, you know, Monday is Kamen Rider Zetsu, Thursday is Kamen Rider Ichigo. I will say next week is Christmas, so I will not be putting out an episode of Kamen Rider Ichigo. I'm going to take that day off, mainly because it's Christmas. But it'll also give me a little bit of time to honestly get ahead on this. I need to get ahead because I will be on vacation in a few weeks. So I want to try and get ahead so I can get get some episodes prepped so that I can just have them out and ready. But I will be having, you know, Mondays will still have Kamen Rider Zets out there. But also, if you listen to this through the comic book rundown feed, you can listen to our Rundown Reviews every Friday, but you can also find that on the Rundown Reviews feed by itself. But we also have Comic Book Rundown, which will be coming out every Saturday, well, every other Saturday at the beginning of the year. We also have Getting Franchise at the end of the month over at the Comic Book Rundown feed. And that is everything. You can reach us over on social medias at Comic Book Rundown. Email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. And that is all. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.